Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, when it comes to social enterprise, there are those who strategize, theorize, write papers, attend conferences, create models, and there are those who just roll up their sleeves and do it. Lord Andrew Mawson is definitely of the latter category. He's been many things in his life: an engineering apprentice, a minister of religion, a social entrepreneur, a founder of a charity called Community Action Network, and now a member of the English House of Lords. Lord Mawson is in Australia, and he joins us now from Queensland. Lord Mawson, welcome to Open House.
Thank you. Nice to speak to you.
We don't often have a Lord on this program. To Australians, the title almost suggests you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but that really couldn't be further from the truth, could it?
No, that's not true. My father was a milkman, actually, who worked in Bradford in Yorkshire. But I was appointed to the House of Lords about 18 months ago because of the work I'd been doing in the East End of London, where I'd worked as a social entrepreneur for 25 years, really, starting in the middle of a rundown housing estate with a rundown church, which had sort of 12 people in a 200-seater church sort of sitting where they'd always sat, and it looked as though the dead had been carried out and no one had noticed. So we were in a difficult situation 25 years ago.
Why did you get into church-based ministry in the first place?
I became a clergyman after I'd worked for the telecommunications industry, really, because I was sort of interested in the sort of why questions, really, and got interested in what the relationship was between theology and Christianity and the inner cities. And that's how I started my work, really, and worked for 5 years in a drugs project in southwest London, and then moved to the east end of London to Bromley-by-Bow.
Okay, I bet you when you got to that first church with, as you said, 12 elderly parishioners, you must have thought, what have I gotten myself in for?
Yes, it was very much like that, really. I mean, anyone who could get out had got out, and it was quite a difficult situation. This was just up the road from where Canary Wharf now is, and literally across the road from where the Olympics are going to be. But at that time, it wasn't like that. Canary Wharf hadn't been built, and the Lower Lee Valley was in quite a mess. And so I came to the conclusion that it was about backing individuals that wanted to do things and begin to apply more business-like principles to social questions, because at that time we were drowning in 1970s ideology, really, which was people endlessly arguing about equal opportunities policies but not delivering very much practical use in some of these poorer states. So we decided to get practical, and the book I'm going around Australia at the moment talking about the book that's just come out called The Social Entrepreneur, which is all about this, really. What has it been like for 25 years to spend time there and to try and turn a very difficult situation into something that has really moved on?
Yes. Well, I want you to think of, and we'll explore these in just a minute, two of your most rewarding projects. You've been involved in so many. I want you to think of the two most rewarding ones. But before we get to that, I want to think about the ways that you actually started to engage your local community in that little rundown church of 12 elderly folks. How did you start to turn things around?
Well, it began with a group of families who'd been running a nursery in a house down the street, really, and it got difficult when they got up to 12 kids in their living room, and they were looking for a space, and they came to this church, and I had a derelict, empty church room, really, and we said, well, why don't we get together and rip out the inside of this church, put a tent-like canopy in the middle of it that would define a church for 40 people rather than 200, a bit more realistic when a third of the population were now Muslim. Let's build an art gallery around it and involve the artistic community who lived around there in cheap accommodation. And let's build the first integrated nursery in Britain that has, as well as children from the social service at risk register, let's have some children like my own where we could afford to pay for our places and make the first integrated nursery of its kind in Britain. And so we got an architect in and came up with a plan and created a model, and then went into battle with the public sector and social services 24 years ago.
Yeah? In what way? So, I mean, when I hear your story of doing all that, I go, hang on a sec, you've got 12 people in your church. How do you even fund some of those things that you've actually just talked about there?
Yeah, well, it was all step by step. Little, you know, how do you build a road? You do it one brick at a time, really. And at that point, there was an opportunity to go for a little grant of about £70,000 or something at that point. And we just had a stab at it. We'd never filled a grant form in before. Unfortunately, the councillors that night, when they made decisions, found that they had £70,000 left in their budget, and they all wanted to go off to the pub, and we were the only bid left on the table that needed £70,000. So chance plays its part, but we were lucky. And I always think if you work quite hard, you make your luck.
Yes. Well, you've been involved in many, many projects, building public toilets, setting up a health centre, as you were talking about, helping entrepreneurs start their own businesses. Let's talk about those two most rewarding projects that you've been involved in.
Well, I suppose one of the most rewarding projects was to build the first integrated health centre of its kind in Britain, really. Following the death of Jean Viles, who, like, a local woman who died at 35 of cancer in appalling circumstances, with two children, 16 and two, sleeping in the same bed, we took on the National Health Service in Britain and suggested that we could build a health centre that could really offer a wide range of choices to people, not just the medical model. Access to education, to housing, to the arts, and a whole range of things, because Jean's problem had been that she didn't have holistic care. And we took on the NHS and had a battle with them for 3 years, and eventually won. And we built the Bromley by Bow Healthy Living Centre, which, you know, is a fully integrated health centre. And our doctors can now offer patients 125 different choices a week, including the opportunity for people to set up their own business. Yeah. So we managed to get there, but it required putting the tanks on the NHS's lawn.
Yeah, why is that? What kind of battle did you have with them?
Well, they were drowning in ideology, really, endlessly giving me their theology of health inequalities, really. And in the early days when we first suggested we'd build the health centre, because Jean had died, because she had four social workers all running around her writing reports, but no one was giving her a bath.
Yes.
And no one was recognising that her problems were not just about health, but they were about some of her social needs as well, and some of her educational needs, and those of her family. And unless you dealt with the whole problem as a whole, you didn't deal with the situation of the problems of someone like Jean. And there were many people in our community facing those more complex problems, and we wanted to create a holistic response. And hence, that's what we began to do.
Yes, all right, so that's your first project that you're most encouraged by. What's the other one?
We, in 1998, myself and someone called Adele Blakeber, who's another social entrepreneur who'd been running a drugs project on the other side of London, decided we wanted to create an environment that would back individuals, social entrepreneurs that wanted to do things. And again, we began with nothing, and a piece of paper and a few names that were people like us. And we built over the last 10 years a project that now has 850 members around Britain. We have 40,000 square feet at number one London Bridge with 65 charities in it, on the river, so you can now have a space as a charity in this whole, like, trading floor called the mezzanine we've created on the river. It's £3,500 a desk, and just over a year ago we replicated that into Southwark, and have begun into Southwark, which is in South London, and have begun to really show again how social entrepreneurs can begin to scale up their work. And in East London, what that's now going to mean for us, opposite the Olympics, is we're now trying to build a water city, actually, to become involved with business and develop a very different East End of London, which we hope will become a new metropolitan district of the capital.
Hmm. Lord Andrew Mawson is with us on Open House tonight. He's the author of The Social Entrepreneur, and it's not just a book of theory. It's filled with the things that he's actually done in the UK to see many lives changed. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast from Tuesday onwards. So if you were to bring it down to a certain modus operandi for you, what would you say it is?
I think it's about backing individuals and people, and it's going with can-do people, people that want to have a go. And I think government too much thinks it's about structures and committees and theories. And my experience is in very poor communities that usually those things don't hit the mark, really. There's lots of talk and there's lots of policy papers, but they don't deliver for Karen with her three children who lives on the seventh floor of a tower block across the road. And so I think social entrepreneurs who are increasingly working with business in Britain are beginning to discover some new ways of dealing with some of our most intractable social problems, but it's about starting with individuals in these communities and the passion that each of us have within us all, really. That's where we've got to start, really, and you've got to start small and you've got to build the road as you walk it. So I think that's what we've discovered, really.
Yes, and then you're resourcing those people, like you said, with that mezzanine area where you actually give office space to entrepreneurs to actually do their, you know, ply their trade and do their thing. They really just need to be resourced, don't they?
No, exactly, and we need charities not to live in their little boxes competing with each other. What we created at the mezzanine at Community Action Network on the river was like an open plan trading floor where people can come together to put projects together, put bids together, do pieces of work, just as would happen happen in the City of London. Indeed, this office block is on the other side of the river to the City of London. So it's a sort of reminder of the linkages between a business rationale and a social rationale that needs to be far more entrepreneurial.
Mm. Lord Mawson, what gets you up in the morning? The Sydney Morning Herald newspaper described you as, I quote, bounding into the room with a springy, down-to-earth optimism. Where do you get your energy from? What fires you up, and how do you get up in the morning?
I just have a sort of passion to make things work, really. I quite like making things work, and I quite like problems that seem intractable. And it's not just me. Over the years, a whole team of us have built around, come together and built a range of projects. And we just like turning things into something that works when people say they can't work. We love that sort of thing. We're sort of the awkward squad, I suppose. We like taking on things that seem impossible and showing how you turn a problem into an opportunity.
Mm. And tell me about the One Church, 100 Uses project. That's something else that you're doing.
Yes, this is a property agency we've created for the United Reformed Church in Britain, which is my denomination, because in doing properties and developing church buildings, many of them at the centres of towns and cities with small congregations, it's quite a complicated job nowadays, and the church in Britain tends to be far too bureaucratic. So we began to show my denomination how you might turn the whole development of buildings into a social enterprise, really, and do it in a more entrepreneurial way. So we have created One Church, 100 Uses as a national exemplar, really, of how you do that. And we already have a number of Pathfinder projects going through. We're working on 7 churches in the north of England, 2 in the south, and a growing, started from nothing 18 months ago, really, and are beginning to show how you apply entrepreneurial principles to some of these over-bureaucratic church structures in Britain.
Mm. I was just talking to a friend recently about the very issue of church architecture and the way that we, in many ways, we haven't actually thought it through very carefully, certainly the last couple of hundred years, I think, in the way that would best actually get people to relate to each other rather than sit behind each other.
Well, that's exactly what Bromley by Bow Church is. It's all set in the round, and it's all about bringing people together and connecting people. And, I mean, I suppose the problem I have sometimes with where the church has got a bit in Britain is I think the history of the church is that the word became flesh, not minutes, you know. It's all about people and the real nitty-gritty stuff about people. That's the tradition to which we belong. And it's also about, I think the parables are all about, those stories about the woman with the withered hand and those people that have all got forgotten, the small details of people's lives being clues to much bigger things. Mm. That's the gospel stories. So I think what people like us are talking about, there's nothing new in it, but somehow we need to relearn some of our history and pick up again some of those great stories of our tradition and re-understand them, really.
Yes. Lord Mawson, it's only fairly recently that you entered the House of Lords. What is it like being part of the political process now as opposed to trying to influence from the outside?
Well, it's quite a learning curve, but it's quite a network, and I was a bit unsure what it would be like, but I'm enjoying it because the House of Lords, certainly on the independent crossbenches where I sit, tends to be full of people who run real things in the real world. They're not politicians, they're senior business people or judges or people who've been involved all their lives in grappling with trying to make things work. So it's quite good to be able to make that sort of practical contribution and offer our expertise, really, to the Houses of Parliament. But I'm still learning about it, but it's an interesting place to be. And I sometimes say it feels like sitting in the middle of a living newspaper, listening to the debates, but often it's rather more informed than the press, certainly in the House of Lords.
Yes, I bet it would be in many, many ways. All right, well, can you leave us with 3 tips for the budding social entrepreneur that's listening to us now to actually go out and go and cause something special and magic to happen? 3 tips to start them off.
The 3 tips is 1, look for individuals who have a passion and want to do things. That's number 1. Number 2, believe things are possible. All sorts of things are possible. If you don't believe it, they never will be. If you do, they will be. And I think the 3rd tip would be enjoy what you're doing. You know, because if you're enthusiastic and you enjoy it, other people will come towards you. Mm. It's what I call creating a sort of sticky ball, really. If you create a stickiness around what you're doing, all sorts of people will stick to you and your project.
Mm-hmm. Lord Mawson, thanks for your time at Open House. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Really nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Lord Andrew Mawson there, founder of the charity Community Action Network. His website is can-lord.com. online.org.uk if you'd like to see what he does. And the book is called The Social Entrepreneur, Making Communities Work. It's out in Australia through Penguin Books.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.